Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to World Tech Forum. I'm Gavin, he's Jay, and we'll continue to break down all the top stories and tech news from around the world. If you're a first-time visitor, go ahead and check out our website at worldtechforum.xyz to find out more about us. All right, let's jump in.
All right, big story this week is Elon Musk buys Twitter. This story has changed like a half a dozen times since it first came out. Mm-hmm. I think he bought 9% initially, and then he bought 14%. Then he was on the board. Then he was off the board. And now he made a proposal to buy 100% of the company, maybe, or maybe it's 50%.
So what I've been hearing, you're right. So he bought an initial, was it at a 9 or 7%, which I think was just trying to be able to get on the inside. And then they offered him a board position, and he turned it down. Which I think a lot of people think was strategic, because once he turned it down, it means that he wanted to buy more shares in the company, because as a board member, you would be limited to, I think, 15%, which is where the whole 14% thing came in. And then lo and behold, you know, hostile takeover, Elon decides, look, $43 billion, take the company back private and you never have to worry about money again.
Incredible.
To which, billionaires doing billionaire things. Like, come on now. And I mean, for all its flaws and toxicity, Twitter is Twitter. Twitter is going to be Twitter. And I think Elon is trying to maybe throw a bone out to his boy, the pseudo owner of Jack Dorsey, Trump.
Oh, okay, I didn't even
We have an election cycle coming up in the next year or so. Yeah, he's trying to set the game. So the allegedly Russian bots and stuff will be, you know, back in the game doing what they need to do, that kind of thing. And that's my two cents.
Yeah, a lot of people have been saying that Elon is actually setting himself up for the presidential race. That he's done so much in business and so many people think of him as like this genius. I've been hearing people say that all week, that he's so smart and they appreciate his artistic mind and stuff like that.
Asperger's,
That, you know, it seems like he's setting himself up for the presidency, and people have even started saying that The Rock is going to be his running mate.
Haven't we been down this road already? The biggest mouths and the biggest egos, and making $1 billion and being a billionaire is not a prerequisite to be president of any country. It helps in a altruistic society where you don't have to worry about certain things. It helps that you should be able to withstand, you know, the campaign financing guys that are going to come around and say, hey, you know, all the lobbyists and stuff like that. It's supposed to help, but I think we've been down this road before, you know, during the dark ages, 2016 to 2020. And let me be fair and let me think about Elon as president. What do you think Elon's presidential hook's going to be? What's Elon going to do that no one's ever done before?
The only thing I hear him talking about is free speech. I don't know if free speech is as big of a deal today as it was a few years ago. I mean, there's all the stuff with Joe Rogan and what he was going through. And we see a lot of comedians Chris Rock got slapped. Can't say what he wants to say.
But can we forget about that?
But I don't know if like the American public is as concerned with that enough to elect this person.
Right. That's kind of my point. Like what is, I mean, yes, he's been innovative in business. So is his platform going to be that he's going to I mean, this is all speculation, but is he going to try to translate that into, you know, Space Force? Is Space Force going to team up with SpaceX and do some stuff? Is, instead of the International Space Station, is there going to be the U.S. Space Station? I mean, I don't know. I mean, you've got Russia. What's his plans on Russia? Like, no, that being a billionaire does not qualify you to be a leader of a country. And in this particular case, to be a leader of a country that sets global policy. No. Granted, I will admit openly, that level of thinking and that level of society and operation needs shaking up. But is Elon Musk really the right person to do that?
Here's what we know for sure. The next 2 years are going to be really fun. Whatever it is Elon decides to do, it's going to be amazing.
Here we go again.
Let's move into Twitter's actual founder, right. Jack Dorsey. So if you remember a couple of years ago, or maybe it wasn't even that long ago, Jack Dorsey's first tweet sold at an auction for, mm-hmm. was it $49 million?
Some ridiculous amount. Yeah, it was just short of $50 million.
Just short of $50 million. It mm-hmm. was auctioned again this week, and it made a whopping $280. That was the highest bid.
The mixer is close today. So I nice.
So from $49 million to $280, I don't even know what that loss is, like 99%?
It's got to be, at least. At least
I can't tell if they actually accepted the bid. I'm hoping that they didn't.
I'm hoping that they didn't. But that's the investment game. You know, you can buy it's not limited to NFTs. You can buy something, you can buy a car that you think is going to be, you know, the last manual V12 Lamborghini or Ferrari or something like that, because everything's going, you know, hybrid and electrical systems and all that stuff. And then, you know, 5 years later, Lamborghini says, nope, this one's going to be the last one. And all of a sudden, that investment now becomes crap. So, I mean, it can happen to anyone. It's ridiculous, the numbers that we're talking about. Be wise, guys. Invest properly.
I blame Beeple. Do you remember that? The NFT artist, Beeple?
Yep.
So this is all just hearsay. I don't have any proof of this. But the internet has been saying that when Beeple sold his piece, his collage of,
right.
of artwork it went for $69 million, mm-hmm. that the person who bought it was actually his manager. And so it wasn't like a legitimate sale. It was him and his manager gaming the system. And then he went on to sell a whole bunch of other NFTs and art pieces afterwards.
Good for him.
And so that was the first like major NFT sale. Mm-hmm. And then the tweet got sold afterwards. So the person who bought the tweet was like riding that wave. Oh, this thing is worth tens of millions of dollars.
And I can legit see
really worth anything.
I can legit see, again, this, you know, in the context of, you know, Web3, if like, let's say the Louvre launches a Web3 platform or something like that, that you can actually, you know, walk in and visit important historical things. Like, I can see that being something cool that could be on display there. But intrinsic value, I mean, not really. What's his face? Trevor Noah actually had a museum of Trump tweets that they actually made. They made a book and like a little display thing in New York a couple of years back. That could have been something, you know, someone tried to do. But, you know, the Hall of Historic Tweets, something like that, that could have brought some value to that. But outside of that, I mean, yeah. So how would you game that system? Because I don't see him being able to dump that too easily.
The tweet, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing about like getting some NFTs have that type of value where somebody else wants it for more than you had it. I don't think mm-hmm. it works for all of them. Like you buy mm-hmm. an NFT, you have to then go ahead and create the value somehow, either right. as a community, mm-hmm. drum up more support from other people and you right. hand it off, or you do like what you see iHeartRadio is doing, where they bought a bunch of NFTs
and they now they're creating those content.
NFTs turn it into content and characters, mm-hmm. and then those NFTs on their own now have an elevated level of value because right. of what they're doing with them.
And I think that's the part that's not happening in the world right now. Like everybody's buying and selling NFTs because that's what you're supposed to be doing, apparently. But no one really thinks about like, hey, okay, so I've bought into this brand, and we've covered this on the pod before. I've bought into this brand. How is this brand actually going to, you know, add value to what I've just bought? You know, with these, you know, Ape NFTs and that kind of stuff. Like I've seen a a regional body, you know, do a mint. And I'm like, all right, so if I was going to buy into this brand, do I really trust this brand to continue? Well, let's continue moving in a direction where they're going to add value or prestige to the part that I own. I mean, a share is a share. A share doesn't come with, well, I guess it does in cases of the blue chips, like, you know, Nike and stuff like that. You don't expect the company to make bad moves that's going to harm their own image. But at the same time, we're talking about people now. You know what I mean? We're talking about really smaller brands who don't have that kind of cachet and years of experience and that kind of thing.
Yeah,
who are, you exactly. know, trying to generate, you know, billions off of a couple lines of code. You know what I mean? So again, think about what you're investing in, guys.
Yeah. I think a lot of people have missed that a lot of the founders of these projects are new business people. They're starting their first or second company and don't necessarily have the experience of dealing with hundreds of thousands versus millions of dollars. And so that's what you saw like in the IPO bus,
right?
ICO bus, rather, that, you know, all of these coins just sort of fizzled into nothing because the people who were running them didn't really know how to manage that.
Right. And then, you know, we as young people get, you know, like to call out, you know, the older ones like, hey, you guys need to leave where there's a new way of doing things, and not realizing like, all right, look, now the system is built on what these guys were doing. So if you don't understand what these guys are doing, what you're trying to do, unless you're trying to create a brand new system, which is all kinds of difficult in itself, may or may not work, but would stand so much more better of a chance if you did understand. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. And so, speaking of trust, that sort of takes us into you were talking about whether or not we will trust these brands to do this stuff. That takes us into the next story. So celebrities are jumping into the crypto space, NFT space in droves, apparently. So there's a crypto payments platform called MoonPay. Mm-hmm. It recently got, how much is it, $87 million in investments from 60 different celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
And the list of celebrities is incredible, right? Like Justin Bieber.
Paltrow.
Gwyneth Paltrow. Drake was in there. Snoop Dogg. Just an incredible list of different people. Ashton Kutcher. Bruce Willis. Diplo. Mm-hmm. Eva Longoria.
Shout out to Bruce
Willis. A bunch of names. I don't know. Jason Derulo.
Shout out to Bruce. No, like he little just retired baby, from duck. Acting because he came down with, I think it's aphasia or whatever it is. Can't speak anymore. That's messed up. But man gave his hits. So shout out to that. Shout out to him.
Paris but yeah, Hilton,
it's ridiculous the names that are associated with the platform. There are a few names in there that are red flags, but then there are a few names in there that are like, okay, these guys are at least supposed to know what they're talking about. Ashton Kutcher has been in the tech game for a long time to the point where he barely acts anymore and he makes more money off his tech companies than anything else. Paltrow seems to be pretty well connected as well. McConaughey has a good track record in terms of his investments and that kind of thing from what I know. And it's Kate Hudson's a pretty good entrepreneur, you know, in her own right. But I'm still a little shaky on it, man. I'm still a little shaky on it. It seems like, again, everyone's cashing in, or at least trying to cash in off this celebrity of it, not really understanding, you know, okay, so we've well, for this case, no, maybe not so much. It's not NFTs, it's a platform, right?
Yeah, it's they take credit card payments and allow you to buy crypto, which is something that most platforms don't do. No. So they're unique in that way. I can't tell like what it seems legitimate at this point. They've been around for 3 or 4 years. It's definitely not a scam. But what you can't tell
it's not a scam. But it sounds to me like the feds are going to be knocking on their door pretty soon. It's not necessarily that they're doing anything wrong, but someone's going to want to regulate this thing at some point.
Right. And I'm saying, like, you also can't tell if it's like a well-run company either.
Right.
The founder, his first company, actually, his first two companies were started at the same time. He started a VC firm the same year that he started this company, and those were his first two companies. So essentially, this is his first company. Of course, there are lots of people, a few people at least, who've done really well with their first company. Our friend Mark Zuckerberg at the top of the list.
Your friend.
So we'll have to see. I guess we give it a few years and we see what comes out of it.
Yeah, I mean, and he seems to have, again, what I would like to see who's on the board, you know, who's really in the driver's seat, and if he's got a decent you know, collective of people behind him. Again, if Ashton Kutcher ended up on that board, I'm with it.
Oh yeah. Well, I think the whole, like, all of the hype around it is probably connected to this next story. So I kind of consider this to be one of the first victims of the whole crypto industry. So Fast, which is the one-click checkout processing system, mm-hmm. they actually closed down this week or last week. So and what? the way that Fast worked is, if you've ever been to Amazon, and you know Amazon mm-hmm. has to click this button and you can check out right away rather than mm-hmm. having to put in your credit card and do all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Amazon's patent on that whole one-click thing expired a few years ago, and then all of these one-click payment companies popped up. Fast mm-hmm. was the biggest one. They had gotten the most investments really early on.
Mm-hmm.
But their whole model was that they, instead of going after the really large organizations, they were going after small organizations, small stores, small websites that were trying to provide this service.
Mm-hmm.
And they ended up shutting down. They just couldn't hack it. They closed.
Go ahead.
Yeah, they closed their doors. I think their employees ended up going to another company, but it all happened so quickly. Like, they were trying to get some funds, some more funding. That didn't work out, and within a week, they were done.
Yeah, probably were shaky for a while there then, if that kind of turnaround happens that quickly. Yeah, it's a tough thing to, and again, you know, coming from where we're coming from, trying to go against the grain and not wanting to battle with the big boys for the huge companies, because you realize you probably can't compete, and trying to focus on, you know, small to medium enterprise and trying to get volume that way isn't necessarily a bad idea, but that inherently has its own set of problems. You know, smaller companies don't necessarily have the budget to support, you know, the tech that you might want to offer them. So it's a gamble either way. And, you know, for every two or three people that sign on and say yes, you know, they themselves are going through it. And, you know, interesting, you know, and again, they're pretty susceptible to market changes, and coming out of the pandemic, everything's a gamble. So tough luck. I mean, but I like the idea that they had though.
Yeah, it was definitely a great idea. I say it's the first victim of the new crypto movement, because it seems like we're definitely not as concerned with fiat payments anymore. The industry in terms of mm-hmm. payments is moving towards crypto payments. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that right after Fast closed its doors, its number one competitor, Bolt, went mm-hmm. ahead and bought Wire. And Wire is a crypto payments company. And the whole Bolt Wire transaction is so interesting, because Bolt spent more money than it has raised to buy Wire. It's the largest crypto purchase that was not done by like a major SPAC.
Mm-hmm.
I think so. They had raised like maybe $1.5 billion. They spent more than that to buy Wire.
Wow. I hope they can make those payments.
yeah. So they definitely had to get some finance.
No, but I mean, kudos to them for seeing the writing on the wall and being able to maneuver. And it just, do you think maybe Fast was trying to buy Wire too, and just that's what didn't go through? Because it sounds like, I mean, all kind of to put a package offer together, and you know they're already in the red, so they can't get that kind of credit anymore. And here comes Bolt, who, you know, maybe stand a little bit better on their side of their books that make an offer that Wire goes with.
They could leverage
to the hilt.
Yeah, it could be because Bolt was definitely a better performing company. They had went after the larger organizations. So they weren't like doing really well, but they were doing better than Fast. And that may have been the difference maker for Wire.
Could be.
Yeah. But sticking with crypto, so back to our boy, Mark Zuckerberg, my guy, has decided to add crypto payments to the metaverse. Well, not crypto payments. He's allowing people to buy, he's using crypto, adding his own cryptocurrency into Horizon Worlds. Right now, they're calling it Zuckbucks. I hate that name. I wish they would change that name. But for now, they're calling it Zuckbucks. And the thing that's really controversial that had Twitter up in arms and even LinkedIn, I saw so many LinkedIn posts about this today. Meta is apparently charging creators a 47.5% fee for every transaction that happens in Horizon Worlds.
I'll say one thing. That number is a bit misleading because it's not like you're getting 7 point whatever fee up front. So to be on their platform, they do the Apple thing and they take 15% off top. Then they come back 20 something percent after that per on transactions. So it aggregates to the 40 something percent.
Ah, it's two different fees.
Right. So it's I want to be mad at this, but I can't, because if it's my pool party, I make the rules. So if you want to jump into my pool, be prepared to play by my rules. So I guess I don't think it's diabolical because it's all in the literature before you sign up for these things. But at the same time, man, Zuck never comes out looking good. Never. No matter what he does, it's always got that little sheen of you know, evil supervillain on it. Even when I want to like this guy, I'm like, nah.
I actually don't think it's that big of a deal, because when you compare it to, yeah, it's higher than Apple's 30%. But when you compare it to what else is happening in the crypto industry in terms of gas fees, and gas fees can be up to 100% of your purchase price, it's actually not that bad. I mean, it's about the same.
It's not, but at the same time, the optics is a very real thing. And the optics of charging, of having a 47% fee on people trying to use your service, you know what I mean? But again, and again, it's not even a situation where it's like Facebook, the company. It's where it's an established 2 point something billion users a month or something like that. Is it more than that? No.
In Horizon Worlds, or
no, actual Facebook.
Okay,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, so I'm saying two and a half billion.
Right, if Horizon Worlds actually had that, I could, you know, stomach it a little better. But at the same time, it's the potential of them transitioning those Facebook users over to Horizon World. So I mean, early adopters always get hit, but at the same time, if you get in early and you set up your business well enough and you can make the right decisions, you should be all right. And like you said, in terms of industry-wide, it's really not that bad a deal.
Yeah. It also is something that's going to affect most people who use Horizon Worlds. Mm-hmm. Like most of us aren't going to be buying a whole bunch of stuff when we get in.
Have you bought your Oculus yet?
No, I haven't. I've still been like sitting on it, just waiting to see. I should probably get it before it's like, they're all like sold out or something.
No, yeah. I think one of our next stories is actually going to lean to the price dropping down.
Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah. Well, let's finish up this last crypto story and then jump to that one then. So our friends across the pond in the UK have decided to issue a national NFT. So the Minister of Finance in the UK has said that they're going to mint their own NFT as a way of starting the conversation around becoming crypto-friendly, a crypto-friendly nation, and being one of the top players in cryptocurrency going forward.
But is that the best way to become a top player in the crypto world right now? I think more than anything, what would make you, would solidify you as somebody in the top in as crypto friendly, is crypto friendly legislation. And I guess that they're running away from that, or maybe this is a way to test the waters. But at the same time, okay, so what's it gonna be?
Well, we don't know yet. I imagine it's gonna be something lame, like a picture
it's
of the queen.
It's gotta be something. It's gotta be something lame. It's gotta
picture
be
of the queen, Big Ben, or the
something.
Ferris you know wheel I mean? Thing that they have, the London Eye.
Yeah. Some weird combination of all of those.
Yeah. But you know how they make a lot of stamps, like they do all these commemorative stamps. I think they think of it as the same thing.
Cool. You know what would be cool? If they actually did this, it would be awesome. NFT passports. The whole concept could, I mean, and I'm spitballing here, but the whole concept could be something kind of cool. Like you can design, I mean, it's acceptable because the code matches to whatever, but imagine if you could design your own passport, however you wanted it to look, and it matched up to your actual ID in real life. That, to me, that's a cool use for NFT.
That would be cool. That makes sense, actually. That makes a lot of sense.
So, UK government, forget whatever you're planning and let's do that.
Do that instead. Oh, that makes sense for sure. Okay, let's go into the story that you wanted to get into. So, TSMC is reporting lower demand on smartphones, TVs, and PCs. And this seems to be due to, because of, you know, supply chain issues, prices mm-hmm. have gone up. And consumers have recognized this, and so they've mm-hmm. stopped buying.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying they're not sure if this is actually going to be like a lasting trend, if people are just never really going to come back, or demand isn't really going to come back to these particular items, smartphones, TVs, and PCs. So this could be the move towards AR goggles.
Yeah, I think what's happening is we're coming, like, the world has changed in the last 3 years. The move to electric vehicles, the move to the metaverse, the move to crypto mining have all pretty much bum-rushed TSMC and Samsung and the other chip makers and that kind of thing. So they've been enjoying like a couple of years of record demand. Things are starting to teeter back to a normal rate. And on top of that, you've got rising inflation all over the place. So what you're seeing is, well, in my opinion, what you're seeing is more and more people are realizing, hey, I don't necessarily need, although Apple's going to bring out a new phone this year, I might not need to cop the 14 because the 13 is just fine. And in a world where, you know, it's the gig economy, like right now I'm looking for a new phone. But I haven't updated my, I'm still on an iPhone XS. But it's finally getting to the point where the things I want to do, mainly in my camera, and I before anybody hits me in the comments, I know iPhones don't have the best cameras, fine, but it's the platform I choose. I get that. But I'm actually looking for a phone. So this is really encouraging to me because I want to pull the trigger on one. But I'm not a part of that group, although I consider myself a tech guy. I'm not a part of that group that's going to be on the trend every year, consistently buying these phones. TVs, we've kind of hit a wall with TVs. 8K is out there, but it's what 4K was a couple of years ago. It's kind of unattainable. No one makes programming for that. No one broadcasts for that. So it's kind of a waste unless you're doing like Blu-ray and that kind of stuff all the time, which not many people do because people download stuff all these days and no one's streaming in 8K anyway. And, you know, PC sales have to be going down with the kind of stuff you can do with your phone now. But let's not feel bad for TSMC and Samsung or any one of those guys, because let's not forget their 5 and I think 3, yeah, 5 and 3 nanometer processes were entirely bought out by Apple to do their M1 stuff. So Yeah, this slowdown in demand is not harming them at all. But I can see this leading to maybe a dip in prices, and maybe some more availability, especially for GPUs and that kind of thing. And potentially, you know, if that can lead to your buddy Mark's Oculus is dropping a few bucks, yeah, it could be a win-win for everybody.
Nah, it's not going to go any lower than that. I mean, it doesn't have any competitors at that price range. Everybody else is really in the $1,000 range.
Yeah, it really doesn't.
It's only going to go up higher from here, for sure.
It really doesn't.
All right, let's make this one the last story then. So okay. back to Elon. We all know about Elon's satellite internet service, Starlink. Mm-hmm. But did you know that Amazon had a satellite internet service as well?
I did. Oh, yeah? I didn't think it was operational yet, but I did.
Yeah, so it's not operational yet. So it should go into operation this year or sometime really soon. But the whole thing about it is it's basically like these two billionaires who are now duking it out in space, trying to figure out who's going to have dominance over the internet.
Yeah, I remember a couple of years ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, when Blue Origin just came on stream, that was one of the big things that they were doing. SpaceX came in and they immediately went to NASA to try and, you know, become their vehicle provider. And Blue Origin went straight to internet. But for some reason, it took them way longer. I think they had to go through a few iterations of their actual satellite transmitters and receivers before it became something that was actually viable. And they never did as many trips. So their deployment was a lot slower. It's again, Bond villains, you know, battling it out in space, which is kind of, I don't want to think about it. I really don't.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to see.
It's going to be great until someone, you know, inevitably is like, you know what, let me buy your country. If not, I'll just put a blanket you with whatever death ray, and that's going to be the end of it.
I do feel that this whole like move towards satellite and internet is going to be the thing that displaces 5G. 5G never really got a chance to take off because of all of the speculation around it being associated with COVID. And
really, you think? I don't think that. I think 5G is doing just fine. I just think that 5G in itself is inherently flawed with how many different versions of it there is. When it was 4G, it was just 4G, and then it was 4G LTE. But 5G has, you know, millimeter wave, wideband, all of that stuff that it's almost a nightmare to keep up with. And when you think you've got 5G, you might not really actually have, you know, full-fledged 5G. And its deployment with the smaller satellites were great for, you know, urban areas and that kind of thing. But by the time you rolled into to trying to get, you know, that level of bandwidth out into to rural areas, 5G kind of lost out just because it's the type of platform that it is and the cost of actually building that type of infrastructure out.
Okay, I get that. Yeah. But yeah, I still think like this whole satellite thing could, if the signals are strong enough.
If the speeds were strong enough, and then the cost too,
mm-hmm.
it seems
to me that Elon is obviously doing it because there's an opportunity to connect it with the Teslas, right? Otherwise,
I can definitely see that. You know,
yeah. Otherwise, you wouldn't be doing it,
right? And instead of, you know, stupid old GPS satellites that only cover very small areas, you blanket the globe with a network, and you can, you know, upload OTA software from anywhere to any one of your vehicles, whether you actually operate in that market or not. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that the cars are definitely going to be the big market for growth going forward.
Not even cars. Could you imagine what the signal strength would be like for an airliner?
Oh, yeah.
You become the middleman in providing content for in-flight entertainment, that kind of stuff. So instead of these big round dome things on the top of the airplanes, they just got a small little receiver and they're just skipping from node to node.
Yeah, actually, I heard someone say that that might be why Elon is buying Twitter, because he wants to put it into Teslas. I don't know how I guess if it's self-driving and there's some kind of like Twitter-enabled entertainment inside like, the Tesla.
Even if like from a first principle basis, like being able to send I don't know, 49 billion just to be able to send a tweet for while they're driving, that's a lot.
They'd have to do more than that, right? I mean,
that's a lot. I can see him saying, hey, we're going to add a messenger service to our Teslas. Like, I can see that. Like, that makes sense. But then all Apple's going to do is open up messages in the CarPlay and make that work, which I think they already have. So, or make it a little bit easier to use that, in that way. But it doesn't add up to me. No. Mm-mm. But I guess we've come full circle.
We have. Yeah. We have. Back to where we started. That's it from my side.
We covered everything that I wanted to talk about as well. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's it. That's big hoo-ha. You know, we've actually finished another episode. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Gavin. He's Jay. This has been World Tech Forum. Check us out on our next episode next week, and we'll have even more content for you. You can find video clips on TikTok at World Tech Forum. You can also check us out. A link to the episode is in the description. You can also join our Discord, where if you've got topics you want us to discuss, or just tell us, hey, see how we're doing, or what's on our mind, or pick our brains about anything, jump in. We've got a bunch of different channels that you can contribute to, and maybe you might even end up on the show. All right, I think that's going to do it. Thanks for listening.
Peace.